So let me describe the scene in front of me. As far as the eye can see, there are rolling meadows, green and gold. Trees, the sun is bouncing through the leaves. The sky is as blue as I think I've ever seen it in this country, with just tiny, fluffy cotton wool balls drifting overhead. There is a bit of a breeze, you'll hear that on the microphone. There's a couple of power generating windmills in the distance spinning away. There's a farm just nestled down in the lee of a valley, just down in the distance. I'm up on a hill. The trees are rustling, there are swallows flitting around in the sky. A buzzard is wheeling overhead and a crow keeps flying up to it to send it on its way. This is just idyllic. As you may have guessed, we're taking a short break in North Cornwall, and it's beautiful. So here I am. I'm on holiday. Yay! We don't get a proper holiday very often, but this week my whole family are away. It's always scary coming away from the business when the business revolves around me in so many ways. It feels strange, but it's something that you have to do. You have to take at least a little bit of time out. And one of the things myself and Sarah have promised this year is we're going to try and do that more often. We're going to try and take a few days out here and there. The business, we've got a team, so the business is still looking after itself. There's no problem. It just feels really weird being so far away from something that we've spent so long building. And I'm sure that's a piece of psychology that if you've put a business together, if you've put a portrait or a wedding photography business together, you'll feel exactly the same way. I don't know if it's different if I owned, I don't know, a technical company or a building company. Maybe it's exactly the same, but certainly when it's so personal as photography, it's really hard to step away. And even here, I mean, I'm here on holiday and I'm recording a podcast, but I'm recording the podcast because it's something I want to do. And yes, I do log into the business. And yes, I do look at the websites and keep an eye on the stats, because in the same way that anything you've created like that, you love it. I love the business. I love what it's done. I love what we do. I just need a break because I shoot pretty much, I suppose, 6 or 7 days a week, most of the year. And you become tired, not just tired physically from long hours and constant working, but also from having to be creative every day having to invent or create new images, having to find the best in each and every client, in each and every situation. And although I really love the adrenaline rush that goes with that. I love that spike in the heart rate. I love that walking into a situation going, oh my goodness, I know exactly what I'm going to photograph, or I don't know what I'm going to photograph, let's make it up. I love all of those things, but it takes it out of you. And just for a few days, we're together with my brother and sister and their families. And my sister, incidentally, I'm hoping to interview her at the end of this holiday for another podcast, maybe the next one or maybe the one after that, I don't know yet, because she is the course director for an animation degree in, as you can hear, I'm stood by a little country lane where I thought no traffic would come, but sure enough, traffic has come. Anyway, my sister, she's the course director for an animation degree course in London. She's a phenomenal creative, a phenomenal powerhouse of a person. And so I'm hoping to interview her because I'm sure we can explore creativity in a slightly different way. And unlike myself, she is someone who trains creatives and brings creativity out of them. And I'm interested to know how she approaches that. But we're here with my brother and sister and their families, and my mum and her partner as well. My dad sadly died a few years ago. But it's just lovely to have everybody together. It's my mum's 70th, which is why we're together. We picked Cornwall because it meant no flying, actually. The amount of time it would take to get everybody out to somewhere, we've been to all over the world as a family. But this year, with the diaries, my diary commitments and my sister's diary commitments in particular, it was nigh on impossible to build in the flight times and still be certain of being back when I needed to be. So we decided to come down to Cornwall, and we didn't know what the weather would be. You never know in this country what the weather would be. Well, it turns out it is divine. It is in the upper 20s, even with the breeze blowing. It is just, honestly, this is one of the most beautiful places on earth, and I am blessed. I am so lucky. I travel the world, both with my job and otherwise. And so when I say this is one of the most beautiful places on the planet, I genuinely, hand on heart, mean it. We're in North Cornwall, just outside Bude, in the middle of the countryside. We're about, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 miles from the ocean. So we get that really lovely, gentle breeze the whole time, which just keeps a lid on the temperatures. We spent the day yesterday down on the beach with the kids surfing. And there's nothing quite as... there's nothing makes you quite so proud as watching your son. Our son is a very particular guy. He's brilliant, but he's not as confident as you might think, except in situations where, as yesterday, when they walked up for a surf lesson, the surf instructor said, anybody done it before? And as quick as a flash, Jake has said, yeah, I have. Now, Jake has done some surfing, but he's so uber confident, and actually it was really well placed. Almost the minute he got on the board, he was up on his feet and riding the waves. Now, again, I'm sure lots of you are hardened surfers, so you'll know that what I'm talking about is not necessarily carving great waves and all of the rest of it, but just those beginning stages where the first wave, he waited for the right wave, he hopped on his feet, and just rode it in before deliberately diving into the sea to save crashing onto the sand. And it just makes you really proud. It's lovely being a parent. Moments like that are moments that will stay with me forever. And it's great. And so we've just finished today prepping. It's only 11 o'clock in the morning, but tonight's dinner is already in the oven. We're having a slow roast lamb. And it's one of those meals which I think is going to be absolutely incredible. Sarah has put this together. I don't know the name of the dish. I should do. Oh, look, there's an aeroplane going overhead as well. Oh, it's lovely out here. But it's one of those dishes that takes all day to cook, so I'm looking forward to that. So today, what I thought about talking about, because it's reared its ugly head once again, is do you sell files? Should you? Must you? And if so, why and how? It's reared its ugly head because, as a rule, so the way we've separated our business is I have commercial clients, I have social clients. So our commercial clients, we know what we're providing those guys almost invariably are files. That's my job. I'm going to create images for them and I'm going to send them over as high-res finished files. Our social clients, we don't typically sell high resolution files ever. The reason being that there can only be two places where someone would need a high resolution file. One is to produce something very big on the wall. The other is to put it into a magazine or a piece of publication. And the first of those, let's do the second one first. The second of those, the magazine publication, we don't grant a license where the client can use the images in publications. So we never, ever give up copyright of any of our images. I've never done it. I turned down a gig for Disney a couple of months ago, maybe 6 months ago now, where the conversation went as follows. I'd love you to photograph this actress. I said, yes, that'd be fine. They said, but you will not have the rights to the image. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, you'll need to transfer copyright. And I said, well, we don't transfer copyright, but I'll give you essentially carte blanche rights to use, but I will retain copyright. And she said, well, okay, that's fine, but you still won't ever be able to show that image to anyone. And I said, well, okay, I understand that. But of course, once you've published it, or once Disney have published it, I'll be able to say, here's the picture Disney are using, and I took it. And she said, no, you will never, ever, ever be able to use that image in any context, in any way whatsoever. And I said, well, hang on a minute, Disney is a company that makes its money out of creative people, and here you are suppressing my right to say I took that picture. And I have a right to say I take that picture, unless I sign that right away. Copyright is mine, I own it. And she said, no, you won't be able to use it. Are you still willing to do the photography? And I said, no, I'm not. Quite frankly, I think that Disney should be ashamed that that's the licensing that they are insisting on. I think that's criminal, in that as a company that has based its entire existence on the creativity of animators and designers, they are doing this to creatives. I think it's awful. You can go find another photographer, which of course is what they did. The point being that I've never given up copyright of an image. There is no reason, unless by special arrangement, that one of our portrait or wedding clients should be sending in an image to a magazine. So there's no reason for them to have a high resolution image for that reason. The second reason that a client might want a high resolution file is to create a large framed picture or a large canvas or a large acrylic or a large aluminium wall art in their home. Now, the challenge with that is, even in our studio, if a client orders something bigger than about 20 inches, maybe 24, is before that is ordered at our end, I go back to the original files and I double check that I've missed nothing. There's no dust spots in there. I like backlighting, for instance, so I tend to have, in once or twice in a shoot, I'll get tiny little insects fly up from the grass and they get backlit, and of course they show up, but I don't always pick those up in the initial retouch. But if it's going to be big on a wall, I will. I'll look for stray hairs across the skin. I'll look for blemishes in the skin that I hadn't really bothered looking at, because this thing could be up to 6 feet across on a wall. Trust me, those little things become really important when they're big. And so for that reason, we do not give files to our clients for them to create big wall art. If they want big wall art, they come back to us and we will sell them finished wall art. End of conversation. But I had a client ring me yesterday, even on holiday, asking if it was possible, because we give, as part of a package with the weddings, for every image they put in their album, we will give them a file. It's 2,500 pixels, 2,500 pixels along the longest edge, which essentially means you can print it up to about 10 by 8. Now, if you're good with your print, and I have done this as a proof, you can print it actually quite a lot bigger. You can print it up to about A3, but you are starting to lose resolution. And certainly if you walk that file, which my client did, into a commercial printer, the commercial printer will say, no, that file is too low resolution. Go back to your photographer and ask for a higher res file, which he did. And then I had to explain again that, of course, we never ever give out high res files. If he wants it printing to that kind of size, then it has to be ordered through us, because I have to look at that file, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's got me to thinking again about the place of files in what we do. And of course, we live in a completely digital, technical age. My son does more of his schoolwork on a computer than he does on paper. And in the future, they won't use paper. Almost certainly, they'll use tablets of some sort, they'll use laptops, they'll use desktop machines, they'll use their phones. I mean, the access point into almost all of the world now on the internet is through people's phones. I know from detail tracking on our photography website, 55% of all the traffic on our website is coming through a phone. So it's no good just building a website that looks good on a computer, for instance. It's now got to look good on a phone. And in fact, it's more important it looks good on a phone, because more people are seeing that way. Buttons have to be bigger, images have to be clear, the writing has to be a certain font size. If you're looking at the website in a vertical orientation or a horizontal orientation, then the website needs to be able to switch dynamically so that you get a good user experience in both orientations. Tablets need to look good. And of course, it still needs to look good if someone decides, when they're sitting having a cup of coffee at work, to have a look at your website on their desktop Windows machine. You know, it makes no difference. So of course, in this world, listen to that wind. So in this world, files and the technology component are absolutely at the heart of everything going forward. But that still doesn't mean I have to sell files, or I have to sacrifice my business to sell files. So we had a client recently came in, I'd shot her wedding. And in those days, we had the option for the client, if they wanted to buy an album and also buy the files. And so she bought a small album, but bought all of the files. When she came back with her two girls, just before going to America, she wanted us to photograph the twins and create full size wall art for their new home in Chicago. And when I said, you know, why in particular and all the rest of it. She said, well, last time, she said, the biggest waste of money was us buying the files. And I said, oh, that's interesting, thinking actually that she was going to have a dig. And she said, no, she said, you did tell us don't buy the files. You did tell us put the images in the album. And you were right. I bought the files instead of putting images in the album because they're expensive. She said, but that USB stick has sat in a drawer and we've done nothing with it for 2 years. Nothing. Occasionally we look at some of the slideshows, but the files go nowhere. Whereas the album, that's out on the coffee table and we look at that probably once a month. She said it was the biggest waste of money ever. And that is true too. Not only is there a good reason for us restricting the size of the files, but actually trying to keep people off buying files is a good idea because they get very little enjoyment from them. Now, that's not to say we don't encourage the use of things like Facebook and sharing social media. We do. We have a file sharing license with a company called Sticky Albums. Terrible company name, if I'm honest, but a very good little product, which bundles all the images up and we share a link and they can then hop onto that on Facebook, or sorry, they can hop onto their iPhone and share it through Facebook or share it through whatever. Other people can log in. And the greatest thing about that for us, not only does it mean that the clients are getting to see the images, they're branded. We have a little brand in the corner so you can't print them if you decide to screenshot them. You can't download them, but you can share it really easily. And 90% of our clients, when we've dug into it and asked, why do you want the files? It's, oh, I want to send one to my aunt in Australia, or I just want it on my phone, or I want it as my screensaver. You know, those are the reasons people want files. And so what we do is we use this little app to bypass that. So I don't have to sell the files. If you spend over £1,000, we normally charge for the app. If you spend over £1,000, then we will gift you the app. Of course, you know, as a license payer for the app, we pay for those. We have to prep the files. But other than that, there's very little cost involved. It's all in the creative. So it's all in the retouching. It's all in how I prep the files. So this is how we distribute, or as well, this is how we satiate that need in the client to have access to files on their phone and all that. That bit of it's taken care of with the app. So really all we're still talking about now are files for reprint. And in my opinion, it's not a good idea to sell high resolution files. Anything that can go above about a 10x8, you shouldn't sell it. Or if you do, sell it for a lot of money. Occasionally I do have to do it. And so I think we charge about £100 a file, give or take, something like that. And in fact, if I had my way, it would be more expensive. And when people say, well, that's a lot of money, that's more than you'd sell it to us as a print in a frame. And I always say, well, yes, I know that, but the print in the frame is just glass and paper and wood. What you're paying for is the creativity, but of course, you know, it's a finished product. It's not going anywhere else. You can put it on your wall, but that's it. Whereas with the file, you can print hundreds of those. And that file is my negative. It's the originating source. Imagine, you know, let's say, play this out logically. If you bought, I don't know, a single by U2, you bought a music track by U2. Now I know this is different because of scales, but the principles are there. If you bought the single by U2 of, I don't know, I'm not particularly into U2, I don't know why U2 popped into my mind, but you bought their latest single. What's it, about £1, give or take, if you're not doing it on a regular license on Spotify or iTunes or whatever. So if you spent £1 on that file, how much do you think they would charge you to buy the originating file? I mean, it would be in the millions, because of course, once you have that file, you can recreate stuff, you can remix it, you can redistribute it. And my point is that once you have that file, you can do a lot of things to it that I don't have any control over. I cannot see what you've done. I have very little protection, and yet you want that to be cheaper than a frame. I'm really sorry, but in the end, we're going to charge you a lot of money for those files, because actually they're a lot more valuable than a frame. As long as you have originating files, then you can produce anything, whereas a frame is a frame. So we charge quite a lot of money. In fact, we don't charge enough, but we still charge quite a lot of money per file when people want them at high resolution. And almost always, I won't sell them at high resolution. So the conversation with a client yesterday was exactly this, which is that the files they have are printable up to about 10x8. After that, we would want to look after the printing. And all credit to the client. When I explained it to him, he said, you know what, I get that. So could you please give me a quote for how much it would be to print four or five of these images to about 30 or 40 inches. And that's precisely what we're going to do. We're going to have a look at what he's trying to do. He has a commercial print, a commercial framer rather, that he wants to use, because the company he works with has an in-house framing company. And okay, I get that. If the rest of his house is bedecked in these specialist frames that only he can do, I don't really want to fight that. I understand where he's going. But what I do want to do is hand over finished artworks, finished printed artworks, my signature on the bottom, that are exactly the way I would like them, and then he can put them behind glass and wood and do the rest, even if the way they do it, in my opinion, may not be as good as the framers that we use. So that's files, in my opinion. I don't think you should make them the core product. I don't think you should do a shoot and burn. There are lots of photographers out there making a very good living doing shoot and burn, but I think in the end, I think you should have a bit more protection of what you do. I think you should have more pride in what you're doing and build the brand around what goes on people's walls. Somebody the other day, I don't know if I told this story, I think I might have done, came up to me while I was working in the beer festival and said, oh my goodness, he said, you're him, you're Paul, because I had a name badge on. She goes, you're Paul Wilkinson, the photographer. And I said, I am. And she said, oh, I've seen your work. I babysit in a home that has your artworks on the wall, and I look at them every time I go there. I look at the pictures of the kids. I look at that beautiful picture you did of the dog. It's got your name on the bottom. I knew you. I would love to have pictures like that. And you never, ever get that kind of reaction from a USB of files. You will only get it from something that's on a wall or on a coffee table. Trust me on that. And for that reason, I really do recommend that people don't sell files, or certainly don't sell them easily. And on that happy note, I'm going to go back and have, I don't know, I might have a beer. I may just sit in the sunshine and have a beer and nurse my foot that I managed to get sunburnt yesterday. I don't wear flip-flops very often. Yesterday I wore flip-flops, and of course what happened, as I put them on, I said to myself, well, I must put suntan lotion on that foot, or both feet. Obviously it wasn't a one-footed conversation. Now I've taken my trainers off, I must remember to put suntan lotion on my feet. What did I do as soon as I got to the beach? Forgot completely. So I now have a very red foot, which is really irritating, because I've really done well this year. And even though it's been a beautiful year, I've managed to stay unsunburnt. Anyway, on that happy note, as I leave you to go and rejoin my family and have a glass of something alcoholic, remember, wear sunscreen, be kind to yourselves. Take care.